the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. The race for Boise mayor is heating up, and we wanted to take a deep dive into some of the issues surrounding that election. Dr. Jacqueline Kettler is a political scientist and Boise State University professor, and she's been watching the race closely. She sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, to talk about outside interests, attack ads, endorsements, and how a nonpartisan election can turn into extreme partisanship.
We're going to talk about the race for mayor in Boise, and indeed your research focuses on politics with an emphasis on interest groups, campaign finance, and women in politics. So this race checks a lot of boxes for you.
That it does, and it's already really fascinating to be watching.
Well, tell me how local elections usually go. It usually becomes a very personal decision, right? It's kind of where we live and how we feel about the present and the future.
Those are great points. And again, this is a nonpartisan race. We may have partisan interest involved, and we may kind of know the partisan leanings of candidates, but a lot of local elections are nonpartisan. So as a result, we do see other factors beyond just our party identification playing a role in how we assess candidates, how we might decide, who we decide to vote for. And so we do see, some different dynamics happening than what we might see in, the presidential election or legislative elections.
The stereotype of incumbents is that they're usually attached to their past and old school politics, if you will. But Mike Masterson's highest profile supporters are indeed political figures from our past. Marianne Jordan, former council president and former state legislator, and Dave Beter, the former mayor who Lauren McClain defeated 4 years ago.
Yeah, this is really interesting. We have some kind of high profile previous office holders making endorsements in this race, both, some supporting the current mayor, Lauren McClain, some supporting one of her main challenger, it seems like, Mike Masterson. And so we do see this, some of these interesting differences, some that are within the same party, which has been interesting. But we're also seeing some different issues really brought up, not just in terms of policy positions, but also potentially approach to the office of mayor.
What's your take on outside interests and outside money in this race?
We're already seeing it play a role. We've got ads up, some supporting McClain, some supporting Masterson or attacking McClain from different outside organizations. And so we're already seeing this money on the airwaves and in these advertisements. We're also seeing a lot of groups give endorsements of one can of McClain or Masterson. But when you're in the nonpartisan race, sometimes those endorsements can be important signals for a candidate's kind of leanings or perhaps their policy positions. And so sometimes those endorsements get a little bit more focus and attention than they might in other elections.
Let's talk about attack ads and caustic advertisements. The last time this was tried at this level in Boise, it actually blew up in Lauren McClain's opponents' faces. What's your take on this? Now, Mike Masterson has tried to disavow himself of outside interests or political action groups, but it's happening.
Yeah, and this is kind of a challenge for candidates that increasingly candidates are facing, both at the national levels and now at the state and local level too, where these outside groups get involved in elections. And when they don't coordinate with the candidate campaign, right? So the candidate doesn't have influence over what the group is doing. They can request like, oh, don't run negative ads. But if the group wants to run negative ads, the group can continue to do that. There's been this kind of back and forth a little bit as the building industry group has been, on the airwaves with some negative ads attacking McClain and Masterson saying, oh, I don't approve of that. I don't want to run a negative campaign. But when it's outside groups involved, there's limited influence the candidates have on this. And it gets to a broader question as well about why use negative advertising. And there's research that demonstrates that it can be more attention grabbing, that people pay more attention to it. And whether or not it changes votes or actually may turn people off, it's a big debate, but it is attention grabbing.
Lauren McClain has yet to lose an election. The last time she was attacked for her opponents called a socialist agenda, that didn't work. And yet it's happening again.
Yeah. And I think there's some interesting factors happening here where some groups or actors are trying to make the mayoral race about national politics, right? They're trying to nationalize it in some ways, tie it to national partisan debates. The candidates themselves haven't really done that very much. They've really been trying to focus on local issues, you know, what are Boise residents concerned about, those types of things, which I think is this interesting dynamic again of when outside groups are, you know, get involved, what they may be trying to do compared to what the candidates are doing. And the candidates so far really are seeming to try to focus on what they're envisioning for Boise and not trying to wade too much into national issues. Also, you know, as the incumbent, McClain has some advantages, one of which is she's has a pretty sizable fundraising advantage. She also has had more time and experience running a campaign, and not just her previous mayoral campaigns, but previous campaigns before that. And so that infrastructure can be beneficial and helpful for her campaign as well.
What interesting personal arcs for these two people. I remember sitting down with Lauren McClain for her first interview before she became a public servant. She had just been appointed to the city council before she was sworn in. And at the end of the conversation, I asked her what her biggest concern was. And she said, "My biggest concern is hearing my name on the radio or seeing my name in print." Mike Masterson, when I spoke to him a couple of days after he arrived in Boise, it's like, "Okay, what's your biggest concern?" He's like, "Well, my biggest concern is making a difference." And I never would have seen them as opponents. Do you have, I mean, there is no real local polling, right? Do you have a take on where this is heading?
I think there are some incumbent advantages at the local level or in mayoral races. Of course, we saw that incumbency advantage not matter much in the previous mayoral race, where McClain won, you know, defeated the incumbent beater pretty handily. It did have to go to a runoff race, though. And so I think that'll be kind of the first key question for this race. You know, can she win a majority, or will this go to a runoff? And then when it's just her and Masterson, what dynamics come to play then?
Mike Masterson will be the first to tell us that he looks at this race through the lens of public safety. And Lauren McClain, one of the continuous questions to her is the handling of the hiring and firing of former police chief Ryan Lee. But they both have to own, right? They both have to own their history with public safety.
Right. And I think this is one of the really interesting dynamics and issues of this mayoral race, and that it tends to be so far one of the bigger ones, as you mentioned, particularly for Masterson to be focusing on. It'll be brought up that the police union have endorsed Masterson, perhaps not surprising, seeing as he was police chief. But McClain's response is, "Well, they didn't endorse me previously either. And we've continued to do the work we want to do." But I do think this is one issue where there is more concern and questions, and perhaps one of the issues, I mean, for that reason, why Masterson and some of the other, you know, groups involved have really been focusing on this question about the handling of the police chief position.
Aside from those that have had direct interactions with law enforcement, most people haven't. Do you think it usually comes down to how they feel about their own safety and the safety of their family, and that will kind of answer this question in this particular contest?
I think there is something to that. I think a lot of people, when kind of assessing the candidates in a race like a mayoral race, may be coming from, well, how do I feel? Do I feel safe? Do I feel like things are working well for me? Can I afford housing and food and all these types of things? Whether or not all of those, you know, experiences directly relate to what a mayor can actually do in office, we do. That's kind of how we assess executive positions, whether it's mayor or president. You know, how are things going for me and my family? You know, if they're feeling less safe, that may really influence how they assess these candidates, as opposed to other voters that feel like, you know, things are going pretty well. I continue to like living here. I think we're going in a good direction. That may be helpful for McClain.
Governing at a local level on a day-to-day basis is a wonky business. And right, isn't that where the rubber meets the road? It's zoning, it's land use. Now, that said, you've got to kiss the babies, cut the ribbons, and plant the trees. You've got to get elected, but it does take a bit of a wonk.
For sure. I mean, you're really diving into some of these localized issues, which is why it has been interesting to see debates and discussions about things like annexing land and growing the city's footprint. And so that is interesting once we start seeing candidates really dive into policy debates and not just kind of the partisan discussions and arguments we see in other races often.
You made a really interesting point earlier in that it will require 50% plus one. And we have seen this movie just 4 years ago. Indeed, there are two other men on the ballot. It remains to be seen whether they will move that needle, but you really don't have to move the needle too far to force a runoff.
Right. It seems very plausible that this goes to a runoff again. And then once we get to the runoff, turnout is usually quite low. And so that, you know, kind of looking at that runoff election is also really fascinating. But for McClain and Masterson as kind of the front runners, they're, I'm sure, very focused on the November election, but also probably trying to think about, you know, how do I use resources in the very likely event this may go to a runoff election?
Is it fair to say that retail politics still does matter in a city like Boise? What personal engagement have you had with this person? And does that not matter?
I think it does matter. I mean, one thing we find in the research is that door knocking, those one-on-one conversations is often the most effective form of campaigning. It's hard. It can be, it's very time consuming. It's not the easiest thing to do. And for some people, you're not going to change their minds, especially if partisan politics is coming into play. Those one-on-one interactions can be really important. And so I think that, and that's one thing the McClain campaign did a lot of last time, was a lot of grassroots campaigning. And so I think we'll be watching, you know, is that happening again this time around? And for people who felt like her grassroots kind of focus, you know, last time, is that still carrying out this time, and how that might affect their evaluation in this election will also be interesting.
And as far as their campaign resources, my guess is social media just has to get bigger. I'm not certain how big a piece of the pie it is, but it is getting bigger. It is becoming a bigger factor, yes?
Right. And we're seeing, you know, like on Facebook, a lot of ads, for example. And so that is another kind of an important way for candidates to engage and reach out. And talking about resources, so, you know, you want money for advertising, campaign signs, all these types of things. One thing that I think is really interesting, looking at the campaign finance reporting through the Idaho Secretary of State, both McClain and Masterson are getting donations from outside the city of Boise, which is really fascinating. Why would people outside of Boise be so interested in this race? And kind of going back to, and, you know, other actors perhaps trying to nationalize or apply some partisan politics on this race.
From a regional perspective, that's really interesting. From a regional perspective, the fact is, tens of thousands of people drive into Boise every day to go to work, use our roads, use our public services. And so, yeah, they want to cut of this action.
That's a great point. Like, what happens in Boise does affect a lot of people who may not necessarily live in Boise.
I was thinking about really distinct differences between Masterson and McClain. And one of them I thought was really interesting that surfaced the other day at the City Club Forum. And the question was in regards to Mayor McClain's position on national issues or state issues. In particular, her coming out to talk about abortion services or lack thereof. Mike Masterson was very blunt and said, I don't think it's the city's place to weigh in on these matters. And Mayor McLean said, it absolutely is our place. And you can expect that I will speak up when something is in contrast to how she sees the values of the city. That's a really big divide.
I agree. It's a really fascinating discussion to see them have. And it kind of goes to some research that I've always been really interested in. It's about, you know, who you look to for representing your interests. We live in a very conservative state where Republicans run, you know, like they hold all the statewide positions. They hold a big majority in the legislature. At the county level, Ada County, they control positions. Mayor McLean seems to be feeling like, well, for a lot of, particularly women on the issue of abortion, who do they have to represent to their concern? There is a need for me to step into this role. But you could see how that, like she may be unique for that position, whereas someone like Mike Masterson with his background, it would probably be a less comfortable position to step into, even stepping aside from ideology.
Well, we're now just days away from early voting. Is it fair to say that those people who were always going to vote for a candidate, those are the people who will vote early?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We tend to see people who vote regularly in every election. They are often the ones that are going to vote in this election as well, and they tend to be the ones that vote early. Now, it is interesting. We have a couple city council districts that with candidates that are unopposed, and so there won't be a race for voters to vote in those districts. I think that people who are motivated to vote in the mayoral race, like that tends to be the one that drives people out anyways, but it is kind of an interesting dynamic that we have in this election.
How much of a factor will turnout be, do you think, in the ultimate outcome?
I mean, a turnout, I think, is often really important for how an election will play out. I think McLean did very well in the previous her previous mayoral election, even needing it to, you know, even having to go through a runoff election. And so I think kind of the key question is how much of that support that she had last time, you know, does she continue to hold this time, or do we see more, you know, more kind of breaking up in that coalition?
How do you see the final weeks of this campaign? A campaign can get down and dirty, or they can try to keep things tidy. So do you have a sense in this particular race?
Well, so far, the entities that are going more negative are not the candidates themselves, right? It's interest groups, outside groups, some of their supporters, but not really the candidates themselves too much yet. So I think that'll be one thing to watch. Do the candidates themselves start to be more negative? McLean and Masterson both have seemed to, you know, not want to engage in that sort of politics. But I think that'll be one thing to kind of watch, and how nasty it might get with these outside groups, even if the candidates don't want it to play out that way.
Do you think there's a risk of being in an echo chamber in a campaign in the final weeks when the advice that you're getting is coming from people who are basically telling you yes every other day, as opposed to where people really are and how to engage or connect to that undecided voter?
Well, it can be really hard to know public opinion, especially on local issues where we just don't have as much information anyway. So this is already a challenge for candidates to some degree to, you know, you can have a pretty good, you know, idea of the general sentiment, but to really know who you're trying to talk to and what you really want to emphasize is already a challenge. And so I do think that this can be a challenge for campaigns sometimes, though it sounds like they have a pretty good idea of some of the bigger issues to really focus on, and whether you're emphasizing, from McLean's perspective, the progress that she believes her administration has been able to have, or Masterson emphasizing the issues or the weaknesses or things that need to be addressed and changed. So they, you know, thinking about affordable housing, public safety, kind of some of the governance questions, openness for, you know, representation, all these sorts of questions. But I do think it's always kind of interesting on how campaigns are run and what sort of steps we see them making down the road.
We lack really good public polling, but do you have a sense of inside the campaign polling? does Idaho have resources to really tap into even anecdotal information of what's out there? Are there really good, legitimate organizations that help campaigns?
I mean, yeah, there definitely are. But polling in general is just getting more and more challenging because, you know, a lot of people may not have landlines and may not pick up a cell phone call from a number they don't know. And so even if campaigns are doing polling and perhaps spending a lot of money for it, there's always these concerns of, well, is the sample actually representative of the population? Just because there are some challenges.
Those push texts that that I get, that everyone gets, why am I getting those? My sense is my phone number is being sold somewhere.
A lot of groups and entities may be purchasing numbers. They may be sharing contact information. You know, a lot of campaigns or parties, for example, will share voter list or information with each other, especially when it's text messages. Often there are a lot of citizens that are uncomfortable receiving it this way and may not really understand either, like, where is this coming from? Why am I getting this? And is it safe to take to complete this as well?
Right. We could have a different conversation, and I'm certain we will, about closed or open primaries and party affiliation. But is it fair to say that most Idahoans still look at themselves as independent?
In general, in the United States, it's a growing population of people that view themselves independent. Whether or not they're truly independent is a question. They probably are usually voting with one party or the other. But we've seen, you know, within Idaho, some of these growing concerns or conflicts, particularly within the Republican Party. So people may tend to vote Republican, but may view themselves as independent and may be interested in revising or reforming how primaries are operated in the state.
Do you think we are in a particular era of more elections being decided by single digits?
Oh, that's a great question. I haven't looked at the
data
recently.
I mean, really contested. Obviously, I'm thinking presidential races.
Oh,
but
sure.
but I think this is a pretty good example of some local elections.
We can get really close elections, and that's where voter turnout, going back to an earlier point, can be really impactful if it's going to be, you know, a really tight, close race. Again, it's hard to know without really good polling or insights. But some of these city council races where you've got multiple candidates running, they may be very, very close.
We have one district where the race has already been decided in West Boise, which I think would be more certainly conservative than other districts in Boise. Folks in that district might not necessarily go to the polls, and that could have an impact.
And so maybe not having a contested competitive city council race won't necessarily play a big role, but I do think it's an important question and something that we really will need to look at is, how does that play a role? And how are the campaigns, especially the Masterson campaign, perhaps, you know, if you can't necessarily rely on a city council race to turn people out in that district, does his campaign now need to invest more resources there? Or does the Willits campaign continue to be pretty active, even though she isn't in a competitive race?
I want to leave it at this, and that is, it's easy to turn away from politics when things get nasty and ugly, and you just don't want to read or even consider it anymore. But an informed, engaged voter, which is to say, looking at true issues and where people truly do stand, is always a good thing.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's great for people to not just watch the ads from outside groups, but also go to the campaigns, read what their positions are, what their issues that they're highlighting, perhaps read some of the coverage or listen to coverage about for candidate forums, those types of things, to really learn about what the candidates themselves are focusing on, and not just getting our information from you know, some of the negative advertising.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.